right, folks. You are listening to the Ishai Fleischer Show, broadcasting live from Judea to the world. You're a part of it wherever you are. Shalom and welcome to Walking with Yishai. This is a different kind of show today because of a lot of reasons. But basically, it's the madness weeks, the 2 weeks before Pesach, before Passover. So there's a lot of cleaning, and a lot of my guests are cleaning and doing other things, and everybody's busy. And also, there's like elections, and so there's like a kind of madness in the air. And also, since Corona is kind of like opening up around here in the sense that people are starting to come out after Israel's been highly vaccinated, and also a lot of people have been sick and therefore getting over it, both of those factors. So what it means is that Israel's in kind of a different mode in the way that people are coming out of their house, and there's a lot more tourists in Hebron right now. And so with all these various factors, it just came out that I couldn't do the show with Rabbi Mike Foyer, and I also wanted to have Rabbi Shimshon Nadel on, and it didn't work out. And so, and with Malka, she's rushing around. And so instead, I felt like taking the show on the road a little bit, and that is just to walk around here in Judea and talk with you about stuff that's on my mind, and to reach out to you and connect with you wherever you are. That's the catchphrase of our show, right? We connect, we bring you to Israel and Israel to you wherever you are. We talk about the centrality of Israel and God's big plan of bringing the Jewish people back home to the land of Israel at this time, and really one of the most exciting eras to be alive in. Even though it's an era filled with cynicism, there's actually tremendous blessings and tremendous revelation that's happening in our time. So a few things that I do want to talk about is Pesach cleaning. Okay, everybody, you got to clean the house. You got to get rid of the chametz, and got to get ready for that Seder. And this year's Seder is going to be very different because it hasn't been 14 years since Seder was on Saturday night, which for Orthodox Jews is a pretty tricky proposal, because doing it Saturday night means that you have to have everything ready already before Shabbat. Also, on Shabbat, you could still eat chametz, leaven, but you have to make sure to be able to get rid of it by Saturday morning and have the house free of chametz. So you're either going to like flush it down the toilet, whatever is left, or even throwing it out in the garbage is in some places a problem. So make sure that you have just a little bit, consume it, get rid of it. And then by already Shabbat morning, Saturday morning, already have no chametz in the house. But already be chametz free and be ready for the Seder Saturday night with all of the stuff prepared. All of the stuff, also the warming of the stuff is tricky. There's a lot of issues that are associated with this year's Saturday night Pesach. I'm wondering why our sages even allowed Seder to come out Saturday night. It's so tricky. But I will learn about it next week's show. We'll learn about the details. I wanted to do it this week's show, but it didn't work out. And now, some of you love Seder, and of course you love the Seder. It's the most incredible transference of the story of the Jewish people from one generation to the next. That's what it's really about. The whole point of the Seder is to actually pass on, to pass on the heart of Judaism from one generation to the next at this one special night. The night is dedicated to the young people, to the children. That is what it's really all about. And it's written in such a way, I think, as to pass from one generation to the next the kind of heart of Judaism. So it touches, it's more like a kind of survey of various aspects of Judaism in one night. It's a kernel, it's a seed. And it's there to be able to pass the data over, okay? It's like a data transfer packet thing. And that's really cool. But it's also, therefore, it's also a little bit weird. It's a little bit rushed. And throw in there 4 cups of wine and all that. And also throw in there lots of family and lots of folks. So you have sometimes a mishmash, which is sometimes memorable and sometimes tricky. I myself, you may be surprised, I myself find myself as a person who doesn't always exactly connect to every aspect of the Seder. As hard as I try, it's like, it's a bit of a mystery to me. And let's just put it this way. Had I written the Seder, it may have been written a little bit differently. Now, that is a very bombastic statement to make, since the Seder has been something that has been around for, you know, 1,500 years and has been very successful at passing the Judaism through the Galut for all these years, and has done a great job for every generation of Jewish children. But at the same time, I still say to you that I always find something missing in the Seder. The Seder's got something that's a little bit missing for me. And the reason it's missing is because maybe we live in a time that Seder is not enough. Or maybe Seder doesn't do it because we are back in the land of Israel. And we're really looking forward to Seder, the Passover night, the way it was done in biblical times and in Second Temple times, with fire, with a Korban Pesach, a Paschal offering, and with that kind of like energy of a nation in Jerusalem. Not everybody around their table, but everybody in this one city, and everybody making it to this one city. Imagine a Saturday night Seder in Yerushalayim with millions of brothers and sisters. And so to me, every year, there's something not enough, not satisfying, since I think of myself as a kind of a Jew in this redeemed Third Temple period, and I hope you do as well, or as a friend of the Jewish people in this redeemed Third Temple period, of which I know there are many of you out there. And so it's not enough for me. So this year, I'm going to be trying something a little bit different, and I've got to get rabbinic supervision and approval for all of it. But basically, the only thing I want to add is the element of fire. I'm going to prepare a barbecue pit with sticks and with everything so that I could light the fire. And of course, I have to light a fire from a fire. You can't just light a fire on Yom Tov on the holiday, but you can from an existing flame. And the reason I'm doing this is because I want to be outside. I want to smell fire. I wish we could smell the barbecuing of meat. You're not really supposed to kind of do that unless it's a Korban Pesach. But I'm going to find out more information about that. But my point to you is that I want there to be the element of not the familiar, not just the comfortable table that you're used to, but rather go outside and sense what you're really supposed to sense in Passover, which is not really the four cups of wine and not really the four sons. That's all ancillary. The real thing you're supposed to sense is Yitziat Mitzrayim. You're supposed to sense the Exodus, the movement of the people from Egypt and into the Sinai to receive the Torah. And so there's got to be that kind of juice, in my opinion, and that's to me lacking. And I'm always looking for a way. So I'd love to hear from you if you have any ideas about how to make Pesach a little bit more jazzy, to feel that Exodus, and what you guys and your family do, and what your fun tricks are. Please let me know. I'd love to hear from you. Yishai@fleisher.com or Yishai@thelandofisrael.com. Would love to hear your take on making Seder like awesome this year. This Torah portion that we have is Vayikra. We're starting a new book, and it's really all about the offerings and the various offerings that exist in the tabernacle and the temple. And it's almost like the Torah has got sections that are blueprints for the tabernacle and the vessels and the vestments. And we've got sections that are blueprints for tort laws, basically a very legalistic sections. I thought to myself, wow, this is a blueprint of biology. It's like the Torah says to you, not this part of the tail and not this part of the leg, and you know what fats are for God and what fats are for what it was allowed for you to eat. And I was just like, wow, this is incredibly detailed. It's almost like the Torah is like, do you think I don't know biology? I know biology because I created this world, says God. And the usage of korbanot, of offerings, is a tricky question, which is a big machloket. It's a big discussion between the Rambam and the Ramban. Are korbanot something that are kind of what we call bidyeved, of secondary nature, only because it needs to answer some kind of primal urge and maybe some kind of even cultic urge that we have inside, and to answer it and to channel it properly? Or no, is this the real way to replace your sinful self that's supposed to be on that altar with an animal. You put all your energy into it, and you get expiation through it. This is some of the heavy questions that are dealt with behind the scenes in this Torah portion of Vayikra, and we're going to get to more of what this Torah portion and what this whole book is really about. In the meantime, we have a different kind of a sacrifice offering on the table right now, and that is the altar of democratic elections here in Israel. And this is the fourth election in 2 years. And so a lot of people are somewhat blasé and tired of it, and other people are not. And other people are excited. I find myself in the excited category. I'm actually looking forward to these elections a lot. I've got a good feeling, friends. I have a good feeling. And I want to talk about good feelings in just another minute also, about another topic, but I have a good feeling. My good feeling is I think there's going to be a nationalistic coalition that's going to come out of this thing. I really do think so, and my prediction is that Likud is going to do well, Naftali Bennett's going to do well, Bezalel Smotrich is going to do well. The ultra-Orthodox are going to do well. And together they're going to make up a nice coalition of 61, 62, 63 seats. And then maybe you'll see even people from the Gideon Sar party coming back towards the Likud. And the truth is what the left media doesn't want to tell you, which is 100% true though, is that there's going to be about 80 Knesset members who identify themselves as nationalistic so-called right wing in Israel. And that's one of the most important things to know. That means that the demographics of Israel are such is that people are really moving towards nationalism, and including young people as well, and that's really exciting. So let's keep going with that energy of more people recognizing that we shouldn't give away our land away, and that Judaism is the driving ideology behind the state, that the state runs Judaism, that it's powered by Judaism. And that giving away our land is dumb, and we're not going to do that anymore. And that doesn't mean that we have to hate Arabs, but we have to know that this is our land, and we have to state that clearly, and to be simple about these things. And so I think that that's what's happening. Now, speaking of simplicity, and there's a fine line between simplistic and simplicity, right? Simplicity is beautiful. Simplistic is sometimes just that. I want to tell you that I have some friends who are very, very smart and very strong. And they sense really that the world is being taken over by people with bad interests. And they're afraid of the loss of, they're afraid of this the way coronavirus was engineered, the way it's being taken care of. And they see the World Economic Forum and Bill Gates behind a lot of stuff. And you can roll your eyes or you can be like, yeah, that's right. But a very good, very good friend of mine, very dear friend of mine, told me yesterday that he's been thinking about leaving the city life of the Holy Jerusalem and to move south somewhere in the desert and kind of get off the grid. And I said, why is that? Is it because you like suburbia or you want to live in the desert like as a farmer? Like I have other friends who do that. And he said, no, he said, you know, basically I'm very afraid that there's cameras everywhere and they're going to there's going to be a digital currency, and they're going to know exactly everything you're doing, and there's the Chimerica or the Chai Israel, you know, the loss of freedoms, the individual freedoms, and these are real concerns. Please, you know, don't think I don't think those are concerns. There is a move towards the loss of privacy, and towards metadata. What do we call it? Big data. I was going to say mega data, right? Of calling and gathering all the information about every individual person, turning him really into a number like the Germans could have never thought of. Really, everybody's just a case file with all the information on them. And yeah, I'm concerned about that also. But then I stopped him and I said to him, buddy, listen to me. Conspiracy theories, if we call it that, maybe that's not a nice name anymore, but those kind of theories are fine, and they may have merit to them, but I'll give you a much more conspiratorial theory, which is much more likely to happen, and that is the will of Hashem, as laid out in the prophets and the prophecies. Jerusalem being the spiritual capital of the world, and Israel being a spiritual superpower, is where it's all going, and that's the direction we're heading into. And to miss that and to suddenly believe that the world is being subverted instead of recognizing that we're living in a time of awesome revelation and awesome fulfillment of promises that is coming to fruition in our time is a big mistake. You're barking up the wrong conspiracy theory. Much better to believe that God sent the Jewish people, much more correct to believe that God sent the Jewish people into exile, and after 2,000 years, he's fulfilling his promises to ingather them, and we're heading towards a third temple. That is a conspiracy theory, which is much more likely to come to fruition, and that's the one I would bank on, because that's the word of God. And that's what I told him, and I gave him a little bit of a reproof and a reproach, and I said to him, you got to snap out of it a little bit. You got to see the good, and we are responsible to fill the world with good energy right now. We are responsible to fill the world with good energy right now. And our responsibility is not to become defensive right now and go all get off the grid and all that kind of stuff. And if you want to prepare, you know, some food and money and some water somewhere stored away in your house, okay, if you want to be defensive about things, fine. But that's not the big picture. That is not the big picture. The big picture is something broader, something much more important, something much more exciting, and that is the revelation of Hashem in Yerushalayim and us being part of something amazing. I don't know exactly how to get to this next topic, but I want to say that I was on Netflix, and I was looking around and looking for something smart, looking for something historical and meaningful, and I got to a Netflix video that is basically U.S. Army footage that was shot during World War II, including the liberation of Bergen-Belsen. And I want to tell you that the liberation of Bergen-Belsen imagery is so, so horrific. Just so horrific. It is impossible to believe that bodies by the thousands and thousands would be tractored into big pits by the U.S. Army in order to clean up the mess of Bergen-Belsen, which was almost impossible to believe with the naked eye. And to see the German female SS officers with their, you know, well-combed, manicured hair, that taking care of hair, their manicured fingers, their kind of robustness, being forced to deal with what the horrors of Bergen-Belsen were. I'm watching this video, and I'm thinking to myself, this is something that I always think when I think, see any Holocaust stuff, but this really struck a chord with me. I said, you know, I can't believe that we have the German government today still paying money to organizations that are anti-Israel, that want to undermine Israel's society from within. I can't believe that such a thing is happening in light of the horrific history. And, you know, the only conclusion is that you have to think to yourself, you're like, they must continue to harbor these evil traits and these evil beliefs against the Jewish people if they want to deal with us and they want to undermine us and destroy us still and destroy our rights. You know, you become amazed. You think to yourself, if I'm a German, I'm thinking to myself, why is my government even touching the Israel issue? If I was a German, I'd be like, can we just stay neutral on Israel issues? Can we just stay neutral on Israel issues? Why do we even opine in any way on Israel? Where's the wrath? Where's the anger? And the whole Holocaust education to me has been very, very, has really missed the mark. And the mark is that you've got to remember that, I mean, the real mark is, why did Hashem do this and to bring us back to the land of Israel? That's the real big mark. But even on a smaller mark, like, don't let people do this to you. Don't let them undermine you and see them for who they are. And I wish that the state of Israel would really call out the government of Germany for being one of the major sponsors of the 100 million euros that are spent yearly towards anti-Israel delegitimizing organizations. And who's going to call them out? Who's going to call them out and say, you're despicable? And no amount of Holocaust museums are going to explain this thing. The way we got to teach our children, speaking of Passover, is to say, you know, call out the Jewish people's job. Our role is to call out the emperor when he's not wearing any clothes. Just say, the emperor has no clothes. You are still engaged in evil, and we should just we should make a mockery of their we should make an example of what they're doing and just call them out. And that's something that Israel doesn't do a lot of times. We don't call out the Palestinian Authority for what it is, which is a repressive thuggish gang, and we don't call the German support for these kind of things for delegitimizing of Israel for what they are, which is the continuation of the efforts of the Nazis, of the bodies at Bergen-Belsen. Okay, and maybe it's a little softer, but its end goal is the same. And I just think that we should have more closer to zero tolerance of this kind of, you know, dark evil that is still around, lingers today. I want to say Mazal Tov. Speaking of Europe, I do want to say Mazal Tov to the Czech Republic and to Kosovo for moving their embassies to Jerusalem, or opening a Jerusalem embassy, an Israeli embassy of the Czech and Kosovo, Czech Republic and Kosovo in Jerusalem, in Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh. I just want to say congratulations. I especially have a fondness for the Czechs because for a long time I carried a Czech gun. I drive a Czech car, and I've visited the Czech Republic, and I've, you know, prayed at the tomb of the Maharal in Prague, and I have a soft place in my heart for the Czechs. I've read Czech books, including Milan Kundera, etc. And so, to me, there's something beautiful about Prague. There's something very moving about these the Czechs. And so, I just want to say thank you for recognizing the truth. And thank you for defeating the crimes of the Nazis by finally recognizing Yerushalayim here, instead of trying to kill the Jews and make a museum of the Holocaust, the Museum of Jewish Communities in Prague. You are now recognizing Jewish Jerusalem, and I just want to recognize you back. And I think I should be writing about that as well. And so I just want to, and everybody should say L'chaim to the Czech Republic and to Kosovo, and those places should be blessed for now joining the ranks of people who get it. Finally, some 2,000-year-old scrolls, more parchment pieces have been found. I think around 60 parchment pieces have been found from the Book of Isaiah and other books in tombs in the Dead Sea area. Some more of the Dead Sea Scrolls, basically, have been found. That's really exciting. And our ancient history is a work in progress. It's coming back to life. And we are meeting Bar Kokhba again, and his kind of final revolt against the Romans. And we're living in a time where Jerusalem is rising, and its stock is rising in the world. And I think that's in large measure due to the critical mass that has really grown here in Israel, the Torah that is flourishing here in Israel. And a big thank you also to Prime Minister Netanyahu, who's done a great job in certain aspects, in many aspects, and he's going to go down as one of the great leaders of Israel. He's got some aspects that he's been weak on, and those aspects are the defense of Jewish Judea and making sure that Judea, the land of Judea, is not taken over, is not lost. And the same thing with an atmosphere of sovereignty down in the Negev and in the Galil. We cannot have our land stolen from underneath our noses. We can't have Bedouins think that they could do anything with the Israeli army. That means that really, if they believe that the Israeli army is not going to defend itself and they're going to be able to steal from bases, that means that there's a problem with our very, you know, the very atmosphere of security and defense that we're supposed to give out. People basically believe that you could be lawless as against the Jewish state. We cannot have that. Again, keep in mind Bergen-Belsen. Keep in mind where we've been. We can't allow people to start to mess with us, in simple terms. Okay. Those are some of the issues that are on my mind right now. I am working myself on trying to get Israel to be more biblically conscious and have more of a sense of our heritage, because I think that if these average Israeli doesn't really know the book of Bereshit, let alone the rest, but if you don't know the book of Genesis, then it's going to be a very hard slog to try to figure out why we're here, what we're doing here, what we're supposed to be doing here. But if you've read the book of Genesis, you understand the land and you understand the people and you understand where we're from and where we're going. And that is why I'm working very hard through Hebron and other great projects to strengthen biblical consciousness here in Israel, working very hard on that. And also working very hard on its twin project, which is to strengthen Jewish lands in Judea and Samaria, and make sure that these lands are being held onto from marauders and from land thieves, and that the land is being taken care of, loved, held, defended, and settled. And so that's a separate project. We call that, through my very good friends, we call that project Abraham's Quest. Abraham's Quest for holding on to the land of Israel and developing it. So if you want to be part of that, please go to yishaifleisher.com and support biblical consciousness and Judean consciousness. Those two things are so important. And I'm talking to you, as I'm talking to you about these things, I'm thinking about you wherever you are, and I'm thinking, you know, I hope that you feel connected through this show and through these efforts. And I'm walking on kind of the mud of the land of Israel right now, and I am I'm blessing you to be part of this great time, this great moment. The in the land of Israel, you feel the beauty of the land below you, but you also feel the closeness of the heavens above. And that's just something so special, such a gift of our time. That's what it is, such a gift of our time. We have a lot of great sponsors to our show, you know that, and the sponsors make all the difference as well. I want to bless my sponsors for doing such good work, including the folks at JewishPress.com. And Jewish Press, as you know, puts out a great email every single day with great news. I'm a big fan of the stuff that they do, and I want you to go check it out and sign up for their weekly email, because it's awesome. It's called the Jewish Express. I want to thank the good phones at Hebron Fund. The Hebron Fund is the people that protect and defend the Jewish community of Hebron, and therefore protect and defend the forefathers and mothers. So go to HebronFund.org and start being part of the Hebron family. I want to thank who else? Jerusalem Salves. These guys make beautiful creams that make your skin happy, but it's full of the land of Israel. It's just a way to get the nutrients and the spirituality of the land of Israel onto your body, and I highly recommend that. I recommend imbibing things from the land of Israel. Everything you can do. I myself wear an Israeli watch from the Adi company. I'm about to get an Israeli wallet from the Naot company. And I haven't found Israeli shoes that are comfortable for me yet, but I'm working on that. I carry an Israeli pistol. And so to me, really, laying it on thick is the best way to go. So that's what do we mention? Jerusalem Sounds, and also Aleph Male. Check out Aleph Male. .com for your beard needs. If you want a Judean beard, you can get it at olivemail.com, and type in coupon code Yishai, Yishai10 at Aleph Mail, and Yishai at Jerusalem Salves, and you're going to get 10% off. Also check out Blessed by Israel. Blessed by Israel. If you go to Blessed by Israel, you can buy products that will ship out to you from the land of Israel. And this site is created by lovers of Israel, and you can be part of something amazing by having that olive oil in your pasta or in your salad from the land of Israel. Imagine just eating a salad wherever you are and just having a little bit of the land of Israel in that salad. What a blessing that is. So check out Blessed by Israel, coupon code Yishai, of course. And of course, the Land of Israel Network, that's our parent radio network with Ari and Jeremy. Great stuff and great way to connect. While driving, walking, working out, washing dishes, there's nothing better. Walking the dog, there's nothing better than a little bit of the Land of Israel Network in your ears. And I also want to mention our new, of course, Prohibition Pickle. How could I forget? Our beloved Prohibition Pickle makes our Shabbos so much specialer. Specialer is a very important word here in the Land of Israel. And you can make your Shabbos even specialer by having some Prohibition Pickle, but that's so far only here in the Land of Israel. So if you want to help anybody have a special Shabbat in the Land of Israel, get some Prohibition Pickle, send it their way, especially your favorite show hosts like Ari and Jeremy or Josh Haston or others. That's a great way to do it. And of course, we are excited to have you in the land. And I'm gonna reach out soon and get some more advertisements of getting you here. I want to get people to buy apartments here. I'm gonna have experts that it will help you purchase land in the land of Israel and also fly to the land of Israel. That's what I'm going to be working on to make sure I have those kind of advertisements as well. But while you're in America, you're also probably going to need some new healthy and clean energy. Check out Energy CX, our new sponsor, energycx.com. These guys are awesome. They help businesses meet their energy needs and sustainability goals in the U.S. in all 50 states, including synagogues, schools, businesses, retail, industry. You want kosher energy? Check out Energy CX. I think that is an awesome, awesome sponsor of my show. I'm very proud of that. And let's do one more, and that is our friend Bela, who does such a great job at making you feel beautiful in the land of Israel at silksalon.co.il here in Gush Etzion, in the heart of Judea. You can have a beautiful spa day. Take out your daughter, take out your sister, take out your mom to silksalon.co.il. Underneath it all is our best sponsors, and that is the Land of Israel Network, as I mentioned before. My wife is my best sponsor, so Malka sends her regards to you guys and wishes you a Shabbat Shalom and good luck getting ready for Pesach. And, of course, the God of Israel, who's sponsoring us every single day. If you go to yishaifleisher.com and support my work and the work of Kuma, my organization, and my team, and the folks that support me, which include Yocheved and Tabitha and Moshe Herman and Ben Bresky, if you support us, we promise that it's not just going to be support. If you want to team up with us, we promise that we're going to work hard to spread the light of Israel, of biblical consciousness, of Judean consciousness, and work to make this place a stronger, more beautiful Eretz Yisrael, land of Israel, and the state of Israel. And I promise you that through that, the whole world will begin to come to a greater tikkun, which is, there's no greater tikkun, by the way, than the Jewish people. If you want to work for tikkun olam, there is no greater tikkun olam than the Jewish people living in the land of Israel and Judea. That's going to be a new slogan. I'm going to write that out today. Anyway, folks, I took the time out this morning to walk around the earth here in Judea and to think about you and to share with you some of my thoughts. And if you don't mind paying it back a little bit by writing me an email, yishai@yishaifleisher.com, sending me a little bit of your loving energy of where you're, you know, what you're thinking, what you're cooking, what you're reading, what you're dreaming about, and how you are trying to connect the land of Israel. Because if you listen to this show till now, you're either a deep enemy of mine looking for a way to undermine me, or more likely, a lover of the land of Israel and of the people of Israel, the God of Israel, and you are part of it wherever you are. Lots of love, lots of blessings, and Shabbat Shalom from the land of blessings. Kol Tov.
My name is Jeremy Gimpel. A few months ago, we started an online seminar teaching life-changing biblical wisdom revealed from the original Hebrew and straight from the mountains of Judea. What started as an online seminar has grown into a global fellowship with hundreds of members from over 30 countries. I don't know how you found this or what compelled you to click on that link, but I don't believe in coincidence. And I would encourage you to take the next step on your journey toward the land of Israel. Instead of learning the Bible as a religion, it's the Torah of Israel, the living guidance of God. So please join us for our next online gathering. Just click on the link below or email fellowship@thelandofisrael.com.